When I was your age, I would lug 50 pounds of ice up 5-6 flights of stairs.
So what?
So what? So let's dance.
Welcome to the Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. Everyone, Kevin Goatee here, Jeffrey Paul, Lawrence Loach making another return to the podcast. Lawrence, how the hell are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Just want to bring out a little bit of show news. Jeffrey Paul, happy anniversary. 1 year.
That's right. We are now in our second year of doing the Sportsbook Box
Office right.
Podcast. Thank you, George.
Just want to say our first guest was Lenny Dykstra, and now we have Lawrence Deloach. How times have changed, folks.
I know. They used to call me a young Lenny Dykstra when I was a kid.
Oh, shit. The black nails, huh?
The black Lenny Dykstra.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Because of the hammer he has.
Yeah, but he's got no dick compared to Strawberry, according to him, right? The swamp mule, they called him. That's crazy, right? Like, we had Lenny on right before his book went on sale.
That's right.
And then he went on Stern, and it's been They play. I listen to Stern every day. They have him doing shit for Robin all the time. They play clips of Lenny Dykstra. They had him on at least two different times, in addition to when he was on last year. So how crazy it's been in a year that Lenny Dykstra has just risen from the dead.
We will get him again.
We would love to give him again. We want to talk more about pussy and less about baseball, according to him, though. That man had stories upon stories. Anyway, lot going on here in the sports world, Jeffrey Paul.
Big things to talk about. This is why we were supposed to have Kyle McElhinney from Notre Dame, and he plays overseas in...
Lawrence Loach is sniffing his sneakers on the fucking air.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's his gut. Like it's Peggy's living room, for Christ's sakes.
Thanks for cutting me off on that one. But we have Lawrence here, and we're going to talk a little bit of NBA. And let's start with the NBA Finals. Lawrence, thoughts?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I wasn't really too happy with the Finals, especially with KD going to Golden State. It felt like a cheap victory for them. You know, anytime you add the second best player in the league to a team that went 7 games.
72.
They won 73 the year before, right. Went to game 7, lost by 4 points. Like, it's like, KD, you gotta stay in OKC or figure something out, man. You can't just run to them.
Well, hold on a second. LeBron James took shit for saying he didn't go to a super team, which is what exactly he did, and had a fucking press conference to announce where he was going. So LeBron James set that trend. Your thoughts?
You know, I'll say this. LeBron did go to a team with Bosh and Wade, you know, at that time, but the pieces around them were terrible their first year, and they lost to Dallas. I think that's the big difference.
First of all, they do remember that final. They really kind of like undersold Dallas. Remember, they were kind of making fun of Dirk with the cold and everything.
Of course,
you know, and then
the
German sniper
himself.
And then they came back the second year, much more determined.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it wasn't like, you know, Miami ran the NBA the first year and swept everyone.
Did they go out and get Ray Allen right after that?
They got Ray. They won in 2012. They got him the following year.
Okay.
So,
but then the Ray Allen type they had was like Mike Miller.
They had guys like Mike Miller. The first year they had Mike Bibby, Carlos Arroyo, those type of guys. Zydrunas Ilgauskas was in his last legs. And, you know, like I said, Golden State has 4 guys in their 20s, all NBA guys. And that's a huge problem right there to me. Like, it's going to create a lot of problems. And we just got to see what LeBron could do in the offseason, because he's going to change that team a lot.
Speaking of problems, okay, and I want to hear what you guys think about this. All right, I'm watching today and I'm reading that Cleveland's making a serious run at Paul George. Okay, then what do you guys think about if they get a Paul George and, say, another piece? And what do you think about these, like, super teams? You're just going to have the Warriors and Cleveland, and for the next maybe, what, 3 years, that's going to be your finals. Is it good for the NBA, bad for the NBA?
As a Yankees fan, it'd be hard for me to shit on that idea, being what they did with, you know, for all those years, what they did. So I have no problem with that. If they're operating under the cap and they can pull it off, so be it. It's just under the teams to get better. I mean, look at, for example, the Tampa Bay Rays. They suck for so long. They built with their farm. They got good again. That's what some of these other teams are going to have to do then, is just build the farm and then compete eventually. But
it's bad for basketball,
but it's going to happen. So deal with it.
There's a chance. I mean, unless LeBron gets hurt, I mean, we're going to have part four next year.
Sure.
Yeah, of course. Who's the challenge in the East?
No one.
Boston.
If Boston gets Jimmy Butler, that's still not going
to
make it.
Still
better.
Not good
they
enough.
They need two pieces. They need two max guys to even have a shot at Cleveland.
Well, Danny Ainge did a lot with his trading.
We're going to get to that.
Oh, you're going to get? Okay, cool. Yeah.
We're going to get to that.
But, I mean, like I said, you know, this is building up for our generation's 30 for 30. Like, you know how, like, they had the Lakers and Celtics,
where
they met.
Of course. It's already there.
This is already there. So we're 20, 25 years down the line. ESPN's going to have their.
But this is going to exceed that because, really, if Cleveland adds those two, let's say a Melo and a Paul George. Okay. For the next 3 years, no one else is coming out of the East, and no one's challenging Golden State in the West. So so now you're a fan in Portland, you're a fan in Minnesota. Yeah. Do you give a shit about the NBA? And really, you're going to spend big money to buy tickets? Like, who cares about the Bucks, Oklahoma City, in February?
No one. Right. No, the attendance is going to be shit nothing. Until the playoffs. No, that's
the playoffs are going to mean shit.
Why the NBA is, in this sense, the worst, like, regular season. Like, hockey, anything can fucking... The Nashville Predators almost won the Cup. Baseball, same story. Playoff baseball.
Well, that's right. And that was... Anyways, right. That was proven true already.
Right.
Because look what Nashville did. They knocked off and swept Chicago. In the first round. Hot goalie. Basketball is different than any of the other sports.
Yeah, anyone can win in hockey. Eights can take out ones, not easily in hockey, but in basketball, it's a foregone conclusion. Baseball, a little different, though, but there's a little bit more. You can knock them off hot pitcher like that. You got a Kershaw. You got a Madison Bumgarner, for Christ's sake. Basketball, it is a fucking two-round bye for the Warriors and the Cavaliers. The question is, can both teams make it undefeated when they face each other in the finals?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, every year in the NBA, there's pretty much five or six teams that have a legitimate shot to win.
Right.
This year, Cleveland and Golden State just pretty much cut out the middleman. So now it's just two teams, and San Antonio had an outside shot. I think going forward...
They got swept.
But yeah, but you also had to realize...
They lost Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard,
then they would have lost in five.
I would say, yeah, they would have got at least one game on Golden State.
Does it make a difference?
Well,
no difference.
When you lose your linchpin like that, the team fucking morale just drops.
No, I understand it, but I'm saying even if they had Kawhi Leonard and Tony Parker and they win one game, they couldn't play.
If they win game one, that's a big fucking momentum right there. If they get game one, then you can't say that.
There's no way. Okay, maybe go six tops.
I was going to say six.
Maybe. Maybe.
But it still doesn't make a difference because the Warriors were going to wind up winning no matter what.
Yeah, we all knew this. This is a foregone conclusion on July 4th, 2016. KD, once he signed there, we knew that he was going to win.
That's right.
How much has LeBron have to take up a pay cut to get some of these guys on that team now?
Well, here's the thing with Cleveland's cap situation. They're fucked. I'll be honest. They're in a bad situation. They have they've committed a lot of money to guys like Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, and
so they look to move them.
Well, they're going to look to move them, but it's like
along with a piece.
Well,
the new guys coming in are going to go for a little. They're going to have to take a pay cut. Now, this is where you're going to find out if Paul George is full of shit or not. Is he going to go for big money and want to play in with the Lakers? And they're going to have to give up pieces to get him. It's kind of like when Melo forced to trade to the Knicks.
Thanks, yeah.
Because remember, he goes to a Knicks team, but the Knicks moved all those assets. So he went from a team that he didn't like to the exact same situation, only in New York.
It's a little different, I think, with Paul George. And I'll just say this. Melo had New York gut the roster. And if Melo waited it out like a smart man, he should have. No, I mean,
the reason why he did it because he wanted to get it in before the strike. You remember?
Yeah, I remember. Mm-hmm. I remember. And then he ended up ruining it. He signed a deal. He ended up signing poor contracts. When if he just waited it out, he could have been even more paid and on a better team. But that's the conundrum with Carmelo Anthony. It's a whole different. He ruined the Knicks, and I'll say that they traded Chandler, Gallinari. Just so he can get
draft picks, Mozgov, who was a piece.
That's what I'm saying. So with Paul George, it's literally now. Here's the thing, though: if Paul George goes to Cleveland, who's to say that winning trumps it all? Like, everyone knows he wants to go back to LA, but if he's in finals with LeBron and he's winning, he's the second or third piece. Who's to say he doesn't figure out how to stay? Because obviously, if they trade for Paul George, that means Kevin Love is gone.
No, they're not going to do that.
No way. They got him.
They're not right.
Well, Kevin Love is the only piece that you can legitimately move.
That's not what they're going to do. They're going to look to move J.R. Smith and Shumpert.
So
okay, and George is going to have to go in for a little bit less money. So that's where, do you go where you have the better shot at winning, or do you go where you have the better shot at making more money?
I don't see in your hometown scenario where Paul George can go to Cleveland without them shipping out Love some way, somehow. You're not going to have Kyrie, LeBron, Paul George, Kevin Love, Tristan. You can't have those five. Like, someone, Kevin Love is the scapegoat, and he's the guy that has to be moved because of his contract. There's no way you can just get Paul George. Like that's basketball reasons. If Paul George goes there for Shumpert
maybe
and
Paul
JR,
George becomes Andre Iguodala.
Paul George is 6 or 7 years in the league. He's not going to be Andre Iguodala. Iguodala was in the league for 10 years.
I know, but he's not starting, but he's coming off the bench and he's playing huge minutes.
Paul George is not going to sit on the bench, though. He's not going to be a sixth man.
This is where you put your ego aside.
I mean, not when you're that fucking level.
Not when you're that good. I mean, you're not.
Derek G would never come off the fucking bench like that if he traded to go play for a winner.
But they're not going to get rid of Love. From everything that I understand, I've read, that they want to keep that core together and bring in pieces.
Well, like I said, unless you
bring
because
otherwise you're making lateral moves. I mean, Love had a fantastic playoff. He's not the reason why they lost the series. The reason why they lost the series,
they're outmatched.
Exactly. You just don't have the firepower. So either you got to hope that the Warriors lose some of that firepower, which they're not. Or you got to add firepower, and that's what they're looking to do. And they want to do it in bringing Gordon Hayward. They want to bring in like another shooter.
But yeah, you have to. I mean, honestly, the way to be Golden State is to me not adding like scoring, like a superstar, like a Melo or a Paul George. You have to
defense.
Bring in 3-and-D guys who are willing to come in, like an Avery Bradley, guy, a Jay Crowder, those type of guys who are willing to sacrifice and be able to kind of slow Durant down, because you can't have LeBron guarding Durant next year in the finals.
If you're Boston, you're trading Jay Crowder over to Cleveland.
Shit, if you can get Kevin Love out of it,
you're not getting.
It's
like biting your nose to spite your face, though, to do that. They're going to face off in the playoffs next year. It's kind of like, eh.
But Danny Ainge is a smart guy. He knows what he literally has Boston set up.
I don't think he's a smart guy yet.
Danny Ainge has done some smart
All he moves. Did was rape the Nets, and that was Billy King. And Billy King was put up by that by Prokhorov.
But at the end of the day, it's one of the greatest trades that set Boston up for. It's one, probably going to go down as the worst trade in the history of basketball.
I'm going to almost say sports.
Yeah, it's up there with that Herschel Walker deal.
Yeah, yeah.
It's up there.
Absolutely.
Totally up there.
That should be a topic for a future show. The 10 worst trades or signings we've ever seen. Let's also ask the Ricky Williams signing for the Saints, where they gave up the Saints.
The draft.
They gave the entire draft for fucking Ricky Williams.
That was a pretty bad one. But the circumstances around that trade that Boston got was Prokhorov was moving into the new building. He wanted a winner right away, and just told Billy King whatever it takes. Yeah. So they take an aging Durant. They take an aging name?
Paul Pierce.
They brought Jason Terry in, and remember they signed Karolanko as well.
So what happened? Yeah, basically what happened was their first season in Brooklyn, they lost in the first round of Chicago in 7 games, and
in a series they should have won.
Prokhorov was pissed off, obviously, because once again, you go to Brooklyn. This is your first year in Brooklyn. You're supposed to have a winner, or you're supposed to have.
And that's
a team.
When he fires Avery Johnson. And PJ.
And then that's when, now, obviously, when they made the trade, which in hindsight is probably one of the worst deals, like I said, ever. You're literally banking on the fact that Brooklyn is going to be a team that's either and that picks in the 20s. But they did not see that they would literally lose Joe Johnson, Deron Williams, and the only person that would be left would be Brook Lopez.
That's right.
And they have literally the worst team in the league. They would have never done that, and should have never done that, because Pierce lasted one season.
At the time, you knew that.
Let's talk about the draft, actually, the trade and the draft that's going to happen. Draft, Thursday night in Brooklyn, right?
Yes.
It's this week already?
Yeah, it is. It's Thursday already. Night.
Quick turnaround. Yeah, quick
big move here with the Celtics, huh? Lawrence Lewis, what are your thoughts on that one?
You know what? I actually like it for Boston. I really like it for Philadelphia, too. I mean, at this point, if you draft Markel Fultz, number one, and then you still
have... They already said it's a guy, so there you go.
Embiid, if he stays healthy, which he seems like he's going to be a freaking phenomenon, and Ben Simmons, if he stays healthy, you got three guys... Honestly,
Simmons could have played this year. They just didn't want to risk it.
Of course.
Yeah.
And Embiid could have finished the season, too.
Exactly.
So, why is the point you just said?
Well, they tanking.
Yeah.
So a higher lottery pick. You know, that was their idea with that. But like I said, Boston's going to be set up, too, because they literally have, I think, 9 first-round picks over the next, like, three.
I think I'm agreeing with what you're saying, I think it's a good move for Boston. But two things you have to keep in mind. One, okay, when was the last time the first overall pick was traded? That doesn't happen. And you better hope that, you know, the guy that you get becomes, you know, like no one got all over Houston when they picked
Olajuwon
instead of Jordan. Mm-hmm. Okay? I mean, Jordan was a better player, but Olajuwon won two world championships with mm-hmm. them.
Yeah. He's
a great player. People got all over, it was a Portland when they picked Sam Booty over Jordan. If they picked the kid from Kansas, is that his name?
Josh Jackson.
Josh from Kansas? Is that where he's from?
Yeah, he went to Kansas.
Okay. They pick him. He turns out to be a good player, but the point guard turns out to be, like, you know, a generation type player, and Boston winds up winning a championship, great. But if you traded away an all time great guy, you know, a franchise type mm-hmm. player, when you had the chance to draft him, that becomes a legacy problem.
Yeah.
Now, if you can't keep stockpiling all these draft picks.
No.
So they're going to have to turn that into something. Okay? So is that going to be Jimmy Butler? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be Paul George? What, you know, is it going to be, you know, again, Blake Griffin, mm-hmm. who's available? You know, there's a bunch of guys out there, you know, this year. There's going to be a lot of movement, I think, between now and, say, July when free agency hits.
I think Danny Ainge, obviously, with all these picks he has, the goal, obviously, is to get Gordon Hayward. That's his number one, should be his number one priority.
Why do you say that?
Why? Because he have Brad Stevens, who coached at Butler. He coached Gordon Hayward, you know, 2008, 9, and 10, or whatever. Gordon Hayward also is one of the better up-and-coming swingmans in the league. Like, he's, like, literally, as a small forward, I think he's probably, like, one of the top five or top six small forwards in the league. He goes east, you know, once again, when Cleveland starts declining, I think Gordon Hayward is going to be one of the – I've always liked him. I think he's going to be one of the top players in the league. But what you have there is if you re-sign Isaiah Thomas, because he's a free agent next year, so if you have a core of Thomas, Hayward, and if you shuffle those picks out and you try to get, like you said, if you get a Jimmy Butler. So say you have a Jimmy Butler, Gordon Hayward, and Isaiah Thomas core. It's not that bad with a guy like Horford.
Is it enough to compete with Cleveland, if they get a reinforcement or two?
I mean, listen, the only way you're going to beat Cleveland is if you have a team of Isaiah Thomas, Gordon Hayward, Jimmy Butler, Anthony Davis. Like, and even then, you're still in trouble.
Or if you're young enough and you just wait out LeBron fading and, you know, LeBron's dropping a level
not
or two.
An old man.
Right.
I mean, you know, everyone thinks he's like, because he's old,
he's old, but
he's probably 32 years old.
Yeah, he's got like three more years before he starts fading, I'd say. Two or three, I would say, right? 34, 35?
I don't see it.
Physically, he is, I mean, insane. Like, no injuries. He hasn't, you know, once again, he hasn't had anything to really slow him down. He's in, to me, still probably the best shape that I've ever seen him in.
What did he do that made you even think he's going to slow down in these playoffs?
Exactly. Just age. But listen, I mean, not. It's a number. Not, when you get to 35, come on, everyone knows that you slow
he's
down.
Not Bernard
he might
King.
Be. He might be. Yeah. He might be the exception.
No, he's not Bernard King where his knees hurt or mm-hmm. this guy is. He is, you know, a once in a lifetime. We're not going to see an athlete like this.
No,
he's. You know, I mean, Michael was a great athlete. This guy, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same. Physical,
he is special.
Physical specimen. But I will say this. I think a lot of people say wait it out. You know, oh, LeBron's going to get old. But then what happens is you're still going to have Milwaukee.
You get old too.
You're gonna have teams like Milwaukee, Minnesota, Philadelphia. Like these teams, the Lakers. These teams are gonna still be. So you still have to make moves. You just can't say, "Oh, we'll wait till 2000, you know, 2021 or whatever." You have to make shit happen now, and have a competitive team.
Speaking of competitive team, and your boys, are you looking to get your boy Ball with the Lakers? You excited about this?
You know, honestly, I kind of am. I like his. He seems like a really. He's a good. You know, point guard, he's in the mold of a Jason Kidd. I think you can move D'Angelo Russell to the shooting guard position. You still have Brandon Ingram. And then, obviously, the goal is Paul George, you know, somehow,
some way. What do you get moving for him?
I mean, you know.
You got to clear out Jordan Clarkson. You're going to have to clear out Mozgov, Luol Deng. And no one's taking those contracts back unless you're going to throw in a Randall or a draft pick or two.
Or you're paying for the fuck. You're paying 90 cents on the dollar.
Of course.
You're paying that.
Well, you know what? I mean, and honestly,
I'm not taking Mozgov's contract back.
If you can move Paul George for a Jordan Clarkson, a Randall, and, you know, like one in a, you know, say a Luol Deng or something like that, a terrible contract. Yeah, I think it's going to be better than what most teams are going to be offering because everyone is not going to really offer much for a possibility of a 1-year rental of Paul George. You have to realize, like, he's already said he wants to go to L.A. So LA is kind of in the driver's seat. Now Cleveland can go ahead, like I said, and shock the world and make a move. And then now the whole Paul George.
I'm sorry, Ian, but you're Paul George, and you want to go to LA. And on the other side of the phone, there's LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Come and join us here. We're gonna win a championship.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why it's almost like, you know, it's Cleveland and LA. Like, I feel like, and if I'm Paul George, I'm saying, yeah, listen, I know that the only team that's going to beat Golden State is going to be Cleveland.
Right.
And if you, right. and if I'm the next, if I'm the Kevin Durant, if I'm the consolation prize for you guys losing, then, you know, as a competitor, I think Paul George has to do it. And I still think, you know, and somehow, some way, I think Carmelo Anthony ends up as a Cavalier too.
That's what I've been thinking all along. Mm-hmm. What are the Cavaliers going to throw the Knicks, or are they just going to eat that contract? And does Melo, does he say, you know what, fuck the 15%, was it 15 or 25% bumper? If he gets moved, he gets an additional 15-25%.
Oh, did you trade a clause or whatever?
You got a trade kicker in it?
Yeah,
trade kicker. Like I said, I think the Melo experiment
what
is over.
A deal.
It's been, what, around 6 years, you know, 5-6 years at this point, and you know they've missed the playoffs 4 consecutive seasons. I think, you know, at this point,
with no hope in sight,
obviously, you know, and I think Melo knows this, and I think Phil doesn't want him. He doesn't want to be there, so you buy him out, and I, you know, once again,
how can you buy out that contract?
I don't know, but he
that's
can't
too much to eat.
But he can't be in a Knick uniform in October.
I agree with you. I do definitely see him in Cleveland. I just want to know, like, you know, what the Knicks get back.
Well, you know,
could they get back a Tristan Thompson?
Well, here's the thing: if I'm New York, I do take a Tristan. Because
in a heartbeat.
It protects Porzingis from having to play the five. We don't want Porzingis, and Noah's to me is finished. Joakim Noah's finished.
Noah's done.
But here's the problem with that: Tristan Thompson is represented by Rich Paul, which is LeBron's like ace. So LeBron was the one who got that deal for Tristan. So he was like, "Hey, pay my man." Because it's a family thing with those guys. So I don't know if LeBron gets Tristan dealt, because I think he should be gone. I think it's a problem with him, especially if you're trying to figure out how to play Golden State. Tristan Thompson is the guy who can't really defend anyone. He was out-rebounded by Curry and for the first 3 games. You have to move Thompson. But like I said, it's a Love is the out piece. He's the oddball out.
Let me give you another scenario with Melo. What's his name? The point guard for the Clippers, what's his name?
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul stays in L.A., and now, you know, they're going to build that new arena. They want to make, you know, get a guy in there. They, you know, Melo goes to the Clippers. You know, I think there's more of a match there.
Does Blake Griffin stay, though?
That's the question.
If I'm the Clippers, absolutely not. I think you got to break that up.
So
he's fucked you for the last 3 playoffs in a row. He is always hurt. I think it's time to change the culture there a little bit. You want to keep DeAndre Jordan, you want to keep Chris Paul, and you got to start bringing in a couple of new pieces.
You know, I think that would be a terrible fit, unless Blake stays. If Blake stays in
the Clippers, he could, because it's the other thing. It's like the NBA is not like any other sport where you just say, well, we're going to break it down. You know, we're just going to tear it down. You can't, like, you better, if you're going to get rid of Blake Griffin, you got to get something in return for
I think he's
Griffin.
A free agent, so I mean, you could pretty much either.
I think he's restricted. Walk.
He's restricted.
I think he's restricted.
I mean, he's a pick for a big deal,
though. Restricted though. He's a vet though. I think he should. To my knowledge, I mean, vets usually aren't restricted guys. So maybe I don't know. Unless he has some type of team option or something like that, he should be able to walk.
You could do a sign and trade.
He could do a sign and trade. Yeah, so you can get your bird rights and you can get that extra year.
Right.
But I, you know, once again,
and you get the extra money. With
you get
the
extra money.
I wish they had a college course of GM 101. I think we that's our easy A for the 3 of us here. Shit, right? Oh my god.
Yeah, man.
But I think when it comes to contracts and movement and everything, I think the NBA is the most complicated.
Yeah, it is
because there's no hard cap.
Well, that and there's and the NFL is easy too because it's fucking not guaranteed. You can say I'll sign you right now for $25 million. Oh, I'm going to cut you now. That's it. Game over. Like I'll give you $1 million as a fucking, you know, fuck off. But you know, whatever. All right, listen. Let's move along real quick. We'll hit up the hockey, the fucking Penguins. I'm a Rangers fan. I am sick and tired of this horse shit. They get all of the fucking calls in the world.
Absolutely.
Nick Whitmer, I'm talking to you, buddy. We'll have you in here in the NHL season. Fuck your Penguins. The fucking disallowed call on the fucking first goal by Nashville. It was horse shit.
Horse
shit. This is the fucking, he is the diver extraordinaire. They get all the fucking calls. Those are momentum changers in a game where scoring, with the exception of that one huge blowout, is at a premium, and that is the momentum changer. When they got that goal, Yankees said, this is over. Turned it right the fuck off with the Yankee game on. Not going to happen. The NHL loves the fucking Pittsburgh Penguins. They love Sidney Crosby. They are on his dick. It is like Tom Brady. Sidney Crosby in the NHL is Tom Brady of the goddamn NFL, and Peyton Manning when he was in the league as well. Those fuckers got all the calls. They get the calls. You cannot come at me with any other evidence and say I'm wrong. Prove me wrong. I fucking challenge all ongoers. Thank you.
We can't. We can. We cannot prove you wrong on that one. Penguins are built for the playoffs. That, you know, they roll four good lines at you. They're deep on the defense. And it doesn't make – listen, last year when they won the Cup, they threw three guys.
Their goalies are trash. Okay? Ottawa almost took him out this year.
Murray's a rookie. How is he a trash?
Fleury is terrible.
Well, Fleury's going to be gone. He's going to be picked up in the expansion draft on Wednesday.
Have fun in Vegas. I know I would.
Oh, it's great. It's a great situation. He becomes a starter. He's going to mentor one of the young guys who they take. You know,
the Rangers' backup is probably going to get yanked, and he's great too.
He's not going to go.
You know, I'd be shocked.
This is who they take. They're going to either wind up taking Grabner to the contract, or they're going to wind up, and because they can flip him, or they'll take Jasper Fast.
Foot checking guy.
Yeah,
they could,
because there's a better goalie prospect that's being left open by the Kings.
And that's
the guy they're going to take.
All right, I don't know the backup of the Kings. I know Quick, but that's it.
Yeah,
that's great. But yeah, the fucking Cup was aggravating as shit this year. It's just every fucking play.
How much fun does it look like to go to a game in Nashville though?
Oh yeah, Nashville.
Well, it's their first time to get that far, man.
Cool.
Did you see the one guy? What's their ritual? They throw what they threw on the ice, and the guy got a ticket for it because you can't. He threw let's say it's a tuna. I think it was a tuna. He threw a tuna on the ice. They got a fucking ticket for like littering in public or like that. And the mayor goes, I guess we'll wipe this off. Like this is their, this is what they do every fucking home game. But the game one of the fucking Cup. They fucking get the guy a ticket, really? That's like, what, Detroit going to throw fine someone for throwing the octopus on the ice, too? Fucking, that's bullshit. You're right. The Nashville, that was a good crowd. That was good to see them pack it out there. But, yeah, fucking Pittsburgh. Eat a dick. Gary Bett. That was so great when they were booing the shit out of him, too, when he handed off the cup to them right there. That was great. Fuck him. Boo the shit out of them. Ugh.
So they set up for the future still? I mean, obviously.
They're good. Yeah. They're good.
As long as they have Crosby and Malkin, they're fine.
I was going to say, yeah.
That's as good as a 1-2 as now Jesus H. Christ. Remember,
they did it without having to play Chris Letang.
You're right.
Yeah. You know, but they also made some great signings in the offseason. They pick up Carl Hagelin.
Ex-Ranger.
Ex-Ranger, always a playoff guy, mm-hmm. a lot of speed through the neutral zone. You know, he scored a couple of big goals in those finals.
I mean, Malkin and obviously Crosby were that good, but they get the fucking
You know, the team that could have, who should have knocked
Ottawa.
Off, Ottawa and have a Washington, you know.
But you shouldn't expect any less out of Washington. They always shit the bed. Ovechkin is the best regular season goal scorer in how long? He is garbage in the playoffs. That team is
garbage. A little far. He's not garbage.
They have the best record in the league, right?
Yeah.
They are the President's Trophy winner. How many years in the last 10?
Years in a row.
Right. They are garbage in the playoffs. They do not show up. They get that. They get a lead, and they go into prevent defense, and you can bet the farm against them every time and hit.
That's the thing. You look at them, and again, four good lines. Mm-hmm. They picked up Shattenkirk from St. Louis right before the trade deadline. So they had that puck-moving defenseman and a power play guy. You know, they were built right for the playoffs, and every year something happens. That's a team I think you start to blow up.
They are the Philadelphia Eagles of the NHL.
No.
So
Eagles aren't.
They are the Atlanta Braves without the fucking one championship.
Yeah, that's a little close.
That's a close, yeah.
Okay, you're right.
Because
they get there every year.
Yeah, you give the Eagles way too much credit.
Garbage town. absolutely, yeah. The Capitals, disgrace. The Senators had them. Rangers could beat the Senators, too, but
Rangers should have beat the Senators.
Twice, two double overtime losses. Henrik Lindén the soft goals.
Two games.
Blowing a two-goal lead.
In the third period. Disgraceful. That's why you lost.
I know that. No argument. I think this is the beginning of the end for Henrik Lundqvist, my friends. I'm sorry to say, we're watching it now all go down the tubes. Let's talk a little baseball we got here before we start bringing some other people in here. Mike Buscetti's event is tonight, so we'll have a couple comics come in and say hi real fast. But baseball, the Yankees, wow, how a week makes a difference. I was texting my very good friend Steve. Wow, Yankees six in a row. They are just mashing the shit out of everyone. Pitching is looking great, except for Tanaka, who's been garbage this year.
Now you're in big trouble because your ace isn't there anymore. He's not the guy, Tanaka. Okay,
but he wasn't there when they were fucking firing out six in a row either. He's been destroyed. Sabathia's out, who was great.
That's it. Now
Severino's having a bad stretch.
Well, now you got to put Severino up as the ace.
He is.
Pineda, and now you got to have, you know, back end guys like Luis Cesar and
Called up from AAA. I said Columbus. That's old school.
And who's the other guy? Is it Green?
Oh, Montgomery. Oh, Chad Green. Montgomery's been decent.
Well, listen, for a fifth starter, yes. For a third starter, no.
I know.
And that's where the problem
here's the problem. The problem was the offense. They could go out and give up three or four runs without a problem because the offense is putting up nine on average for that week. They're killing it.
Look at the Angels series. Look at the Oakland
A's.
Series.
Oh, my. The bullpen. It was the bullpen. Runs. It was the bullpen. So it wasn't that Tyler Clipper needs to be executed on the fucking mound tomorrow night. He's terrible. Well, now that Chapman's back, he's out of a fucking job. I hope.
No, he's not.
He was.
How many times did they use him over the weekend?
Because they had to. Because Chapman was was not in there. Now they can pump DeTanzas back to the eight. They're not gonna have Clipper come in as a setup man anymore. He'll be a sixth or seventh inning guy if they need him. He is out now that Chapman's back. Thank Christ. Fuck Tyler Clipper.
If you are Brian Cashman,
yes.
Who are you calling up? What you got 1 month before the trade deadline? What's your biggest needs? Third base.
It's funny you say third base. You know, Gleyber Torres just got put in the DL. Yes, Tommy John. Okay.
No, not Tommy John.
Yes, he has, and his non-throwing arm. Tommy John is announced. He'll be back by spring training next year. They said. So that's out because I was thinking.
Wow,
this,
I did not. Yeah. I saw.
Hot off the press, kids.
I saw the slide, and they said that he dislocated. Is he getting
Tommy John out for the next till spring training? That sucks,
kids.
Because Chase Headley is trash.
Kids, do not slide head first into fucking home plate.
Yeah.
If anyone taught that, who was the fuck? Didn't Sosa do that a few years ago and just jammed himself up like that? Because I'm my fantasy team, I think
Sosa.
It was. It was Sosa. You're
Mike Sosa?
No, Sammy Sosa.
Oh, Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
I said Mike Sosa.
Was it him or fucking Manny? No, Manny Ramirez did that. That's who it was. I remember he did that. So the worst you could do is slide. I hate sliding in head first in the first base alone, but home plate, that is the dumbest fucking thing you're going to do. No, even with the new rules in place, it's still stupid. But yeah, that Torres. So there goes third base. To answer your question, who do you bring up?
Who are you calling?
Yeah, I'm saying who are you calling up?
You're the GM of the Yankees. Who are you making a phone call to? What are you doing, Lawrence? Kevin, you guys are Yankee fans.
He's a Braves fan. Let's get that out.
I'm a David Justice fan.
Yes,
Let's get that shirt.
Of course,
don't get it twisted.
Halle Berry.
Yeah.
I love Swordfish.
And he came off looking great in Moneyball, the movie.
Yeah. He had a good series with the Yankees in the playoffs. Who do you address? I don't want to overpay for Jose Quintana, who's having a shit year. The White Sox.
I agree with you more.
I do not want him. He is not good, and we have a stock. Listen, I would rather be a seller at the deadline than a buyer because. Can we make the playoffs? Yes. Are we going to go deep this year? No. I do not think that. Let's sit back. I will. Like I said, I'm not going to shy away from my plan. 2019, Bryce Harper. Then we start making the fucking moves to be good.
Do you take it? Would you go bullpen and get someone like Kelvin Herrera from the Royals?
It depends on the asking price because I do not want to give up.
I don't think he's going to be much because I think isn't he a free? The Royals have a ton of free agents. And
they're done too. They'll be selling like those.
Hold on a second, Chief. They are not done. They may be two games under 500, but they're only three games out of first place. And that's fair.
By the way, here's a fun fact. Do you know the worst team in the AL is only, I think it was either five or eight under 500. Either way, five or eight under 500. The entire NL East is dog shit. I think the worst team is what? The Phillies and like, what, 20 something under 500? The worst in the AL is like 800, 500. That's not that bad.
I've checked out at the NL already.
What's that?
I've checked out at the NL.
Of course you did, because the Mets are horrible this year. DeGrom had a decent day yesterday.
He's had two.
Matt Harvey.
Back-to-back.
Oh.
Disgrace.
Yeah, what's going on
He can't leave fast enough, right?
Listen, take him.
No one's buying Matt Harvey. No one.
Has there been a professional athlete in New York whose stock has dropped faster than
Yes, Carl Pavano.
But Pavano never reached the heights. I mean, Harvey, remember, he pitches in the 2015 World Series. Remember,
Carl Pavano pitched in the World Series in 2003. Three.
And he, right. Remember, Harvey starts the All-Star game. It was in 2013. He pitches in the All-Star. 2013.
Yeah.
He's out in 2014. Okay. Third year, 3 out of 4 years, the guy is on, you know, again, another season-ending injury. Mm-hmm. Enough with this guy. Enough.
His baggage is not worth it. And I was right. 7-under, Oakland A's, the worst team in the AL. 7-under. The worst team, is the Phillies at 24.
They'll be a lot worse because, again, trade deadline, they're selling everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the Mets are cooked. The too many injuries. I mean, that you guys were not set up for success with all those injuries. So, but then after the recent stretch,
they've been set up terribly. You're a power pitching team. If you don't pitch to contact, you got a high pitch count, right?
Right.
Just tell me when I'm wrong here. All right. So now, if you're gonna be a power pitching team, which means you're gonna a lot of pitches, a lot of strikeouts,
deep bullpen.
What was the biggest glaring weakness going into the season?
I would say. Your bullpen?
The bullpen, right. And that big fucking move...
And Curtis Granderson.
...was to bring back Fernando Salas. They did not bring in one new arm. Okay? It's a joke. And then, God forbid, someone goes down like Familia, you're done.
Yeah.
And that...
He was iffy this year, to be fair, though. I mean, you did... Right. You need to back up the fucking bullpen. But Familia was not that good this year.
They should have signed two arms. And they didn't.
I agree.
You want
Tyler Clippard? We'll give them to you.
No, they had to wait to bring back Salas and Jeremy Blevins. Can you imagine if they didn't have either one of those two
Jesus
guys?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, Washington doesn't do it now,
could they get Pat Neshek or someone like that? Right. The guys who were available.
If not now, when are the Nationals going to win this fucking thing? This is ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, they haven't won yet, right?
No,
right.
They have pitching. They always shit it up in the playoffs. Milwaukee.
Well, they have no bullpen.
No.
They could be worse than the Mets. They
are looking for people. They guarantee you they'll be looking for people at the fucking... Here's a nice little fun fact. The Colorado Rockies are in first by one over the Diamondbacks as well as the Dodgers. That is going to be a three-legged race.
I think they're all making the playoffs.
How far are the Giants?
Giants are dead last, 19.5 out of first.
They're done.
The Milwaukee Brewers at 5-over. Brewers are 5-over. The Cubs are at 500. What a fucking World Series, you know, that was. Huh? That took it all. But, you know, if you're a Cub fan, you can't complain for another fucking 20 years. You got your World Series.
Yeah, and then here's the other thing. If you look at they're scoring the same amount of runs, but they're giving up over a run more at this point than they did last year. Arrieta, ERA.
Horrible, yeah.
Right? Lester, and the guy who's really shit in the bed is Lackey, and I think he's officially, you know, he's on the downside of his career. I don't think he's bouncing back again.
Who was the other guy? Not Hamill, I'm thinking the other pitcher.
Oh, Kendrick.
Yes, I had him last year in fantasy. I avoided him this year. Thank God.
Great, but he's hurt.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so I see them being big time buyers at the trade deadline.
They have to be, otherwise it's fucking
starting pitching.
Mm-hmm. Like I told you before, it's before the season started, Colorado was I had the over for the wins. They are good. I told you they come around. You're like, oh, the pitching's like it's good enough because they're mashing the hell out of the ball.
Well, I think that starting pitching is good. I think they're
good enough.
I think it's going to be good enough. I think they have some pretty good arms. I don't see them this being a Fed. I see them making the playoffs. I see Arizona. I think they could be the wild cards, and I could see the Dodgers win that division. I think that's where the playoffs teams are. I think the Cubs will eventually wind up winning that division and
knocking
Nationals.
Off Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee's no nothing.
They're in first now. We'll see.
They're gonna be good though.
Yeah, I think so too. What is it? Fucking last call here. The lights just fucking turn on and off here. Jesus Christ. Let's go to. Did we see Loigert out there or no?
I don't know. Hold on a second.
Just we have to fucking we'll do that. All right, well, Vamp, Lawrence Loach, what are you thinking? Baseball for the year. What are your thoughts? Where's your head at?
Man, honestly, I don't really start watching baseball
until you come to the game with me.
Well, not only that, but I don't really start watching until around August, September. Man, I watched the All Star game, but you know this early season is. It's just too much baseball for me at this point. So I'm kind of who's like has the inside track to get to the World Series this year?
I mean, everyone, before the season started, everyone was all on the Mets' dick because they were close. They have the best pitching. Mm-hmm. That changed very quickly, as we know. Mm-hmm. I would say who would be right now the best. I mean, Washington's got to be considered. The Yanks got to be in the mix. Mm-hmm. The Rockies, you got to throw them in there, too.
Yeah, man, I would love to see. I mean, I would love to see
AL West. I mean, anyone in the AL West getting your dick hard? I don't know. Let's Cleveland, duh. Cleveland's having
Cleveland went 7 last year. They
Oh God, how did I forget this? Houston Astros are a juggernaut. They are fucking amazing this year.
Oh yeah,
Houston Astros very very strong to win the. Mike Buschetti's here, everybody. How are you today, Mikey? You jumping in? Hey, there's Craig Loegren too.
You get right here, Mike.
Guys, got a little benefit tonight for Mike Buschetti here at Broadway Comedy Club. Man of the hour.
Hey guys, thank you for having me. I wasn't sure what to talk into. It was like 85 microphones.
It's a, talk into the Broadway Comedy sign behind you, Mike. That's where the microphone is.
Hello? Thank you. I can't even tell what I talked to you guys on my eyebrows.
We got Mike Buschetti and Craig Loegren stopping in. We're doing a big benefit for Mike Buschetti. What's it about, Mike? What's going on with you?
We're buying a new fucking wind jacket. That's what we're buying tonight.
No, I had a major heart attack back in February. It's kind of an experience.
I think you should have more heart attacks. You look fucking good, man.
I haven't had a 38 waist. Been able to go shopping for normal clothes since grammar school.
You're 38 waist right now.
Yeah.
He's one size bigger than me. That's it. Holy shit.
Time to lose weight, Jeffrey Paul.
I think his waist has gone lower than the average belt buckle.
No, the thing is, everybody.
We have to carve out a separate notch there.
Having a major heart attack is better than Jack LaLanne.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
My dad had two of them. He would disagree with that one.
I do too, actually.
I got to say, I remember Mike in high school, okay? Remember, we were in West Side Story together.
I should have been Krumsky.
Timely references here by Jeffrey Paul.
But Mike looked, you know what Mike was? Mike was like a Guido. He was like a disco guy. He had nice blonde
hair.
Yeah, he was.
You know what, though? It had to be a Greedo to survive what we did on Staten Island because it was all Goomba. Right? You had to blend with the elements. Right?
No, I was a metal. I was called a critter. I was a metalhead. I had long hair.
You were a critter.
Yeah, yeah.
It was
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. It was the critters and the Guidos. Very much West Side Story. Guidos were all the guys with the slick back hair wearing the Z Cavarici pants. Yeah. And the Reeboks or Adidas.
I was before the Z Cavarici. I was still young with that.
And I was wearing construction boots and camouflage, and I had hair. I had long hair.
Do you remember there was, like, fights between, like, the critters and the Guidos?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, the Guidos were, like, mafia guys in training, some of them, I think.
I would have loved to hang out at the Staten Island Mall in the 80s when you guys were rocking out like that. That would have been funny to watch the two of you brawl in the parking lot.
Greg and I were pretty much probably the same, because remember you go, like, to the side in the woods. You probably smoked a joint.
Probably. I lived in that woods. At top of high school, the E-Wing Woods is what it was called. It was the wing in the school. And I lived in there from 1983 to 1987. I was in the woods.
Wow. I was drinking a lot and smoking pot. I actually like pot better than booze because drink, I was like, fuck you, idiot, you fucking clown by the end of the night, but, you know, crying about stuff. But with pot, I just zone and mellow and, like, look at artwork.
Buschetti wore, like, gold chains. He did, yeah. He wore open collar shirts, gold chains, and his hairstyle was wings.
It's still the same thing almost, right? Only an older guy. but the thing is, those were the days where I lived, you had to, like, dress like that, otherwise you'd be
beaten.
You were either a critter with your head down.
Right.
But you had long hair, right?
I did.
Okay. Jeff Paul, what group were you in?
I was a critter. I had long hair. I had Bon Jovi hair.
And that didn't get you beat up alone for that?
Wait till you see, like, my high school graduation picture.
You graduated high school? Really? With that?
I did.
With that diction?
I was with Buschetti.
I didn't do much because I was just a poser, really. Came down to a fight, I'd be eating donuts and get my ass kicked.
But think about how many cool people we had, like, in that play. Remember, like, Lockhart?
Oh, there were some hot chicks in that. But 80s hot, though, like Marky Post, kind of like earlier, though. Like
Marky Post, another timely reference.
Right. That's Mike's, like, yo.
Margot Kidder, she was a real stunner, wasn't she?
Marky Post was hot.
But it's a lot different. You guys,
it's a night court, right?
You guys are much luckier now because womankind has come a long way since those days.
Women, what do you say, women?
Womankind has come a long way since those days. Because, but the cool thing is, like, all the hot prom queens fucking have an ass the size of Rhode Island now. They pumped out 9 kids. They fucking look like, and I'll put it this way, I'm fucking better looking than they are now. I'm like, yeah. I like to see all those whores fall apart and disintegrate.
Thank God for Facebook, right? Holy shit.
Did you ever go back to any of the high school reunions?
No, Mikey wonders why it never gets laid.
Yeah.
I want to see those whores disintegrate.
No, it's funny. It's
who's got sloppier titties, me or the girl with the 9 kids, huh?
No, it's funny because in all the, like, guys that thought, oh, God, they're going to be in the NFL, like, you know, hockey or whatever, fucking, I'm working in Sunoco and fucking whatever they are now. You know, God bless them.
He shit out of him and then throw a God bless him at him. You're a piece of shit, but you're not that bad. I like it.
No,
good on you, kid.
No, but the thing is, you know, like, Jeff is right, though, because but Jeff had a great good. There were a lot of hot cars, and we still a lot of vintage muscle cars, which I love.
Right, right. I remember everyone had either Camaro, Monte Carlo,
IROC Z.
No, that was Brooklyn.
We had, there was a lot of IROC Z.
I know my Italians, goddammit.
No, but all the cool things.
That's the stereotype.
No, it is.
No, it's true.
Gran Torinos were big.
We've seen like 66 GTOs. We've seen 57 Chevys.
California?
No, they were out there in shop class.
Shop class.
No, some guy had a Dodge Charger set 1970 convertible. I'm serious. I seen a 66 GTO convertible in awesome shape.
How many shivs did Craig Loigren make in shop class? That's all I want to know.
I used to make swords.
I believe it.
I really did.
I fully believe it.
Lots of weapons.
The metal shop was good because kids making guns there, actually.
But I used to make swords. I used to make knives. I guess they would be really kind of think about it, like shanks or shivs, because we didn't have any handles or nothing. We used to just make, and then we'd fight with them. We'd be like,
you don't say. God forbid somebody like a fucking like a birdhouse in woodshop. The teacher would go, faggot.
No, that word was thrown around a lot. You could say anything in there. It was kind of scary in those days because white people scared the living shit out of me.
I'm making you uncomfortable now.
What did you say? White people?
No. White people like Nantucket, like white, like fucking crackers, scared the life out of me. I don't fit in with those L.L. Bean fucking fucking Native American fucking black people destroyers. They're idiots. I don't care.
So you like Get Out, then, is what it sounds like.
The bottom line is, right, American history is bullshit. Because first of all, it was founded by a lot of wealthy landowners. Give me a flying fuck about it.
Wait. I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about the fucking shivs you carved in woodshop and shit like that.
I want to hear Mike's take on American history.
No, it's true.
I got my master's in American history. No,
all right, tell me if I'm right or wrong about this. No, let me finish wrong. A second. No.
What a sports show this is.
What does this say?
Let me finish.
Go ahead. Let me hear you, Mike. Okay, let me hear you.
First of all they were super wealthy landowners, 90% of those people. They did not want to pay that fat fuck King George more money than they had to. Claimed liberty was for everybody, and they were full of shit. Liberty was for them.
When you think about it, they
didn't give a flying fuck who was free.
They would have paid the money, but the thing is, you know, where was the money going? You know,
but the money was going to their own pockets because they devastated black and Native American people. Genocide happened twice here, not just once.
Mikey, you're talking to the spit screen. You got to talk to the microphone after. No, there you
genocide
go.
Genocide happened, not just. I know what the fuck I'm talking about. Am I right or wrong? Genocide happened twice in this country, not just once, and that's why there's blood coming back.
There's one black guy in this room who's going to agree with you because you've become the crazy white guy that you were just talking about.
No, I'm not a crazy. No. Am I right or wrong, my friend? I'm not lying.
He says, my friend, you know he's got some fucking shit in his closet.
No, I don't have any shit in my closet because my family wasn't even here yet when the fucking Pilgrim Vikings were torturing people here. So how's that?
I don't know where the anger and hostility came from.
My family is not the British fucking bullshit that came here and tortured people. They were not the fucking Brits or the French.
When are you going to get cast on Drunk History? That's all I want to know.
No, you know what? People don't believe. In Columbus, even though he's Italian, he's a fucking brutal villain as well.
That's right. Fuck his parade, too.
He devastated.
So where do the Mets stand right now?
Awful.
But you know what?
Are they even 500? Are they a 300 team?
Are you a Met fan?
Well, I'm not a really big sports fan. That's why I don't come on the show because I can't hang and talk with you guys. But yes, if I was a baseball fan, which I am a little bit, I'm more of a Mets fan than a Yankee fan. But I'm both. I'm a Giants fan.
There you go.
You're a sports guy at all?
I'm a loser for sports guys. All the Mets,
Jets, Isles, right?
Jets,
Isles.
Rangers.
Oh, the Rangers, one of these.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, 94.
I know. It's been a while.
The next one good was 1973. They talked.
I started some hair last time the Rangers won. Some, only a little bit, though.
5 minutes.
Not you guys.
Oh. You only have five minutes, Mike. You better get a better doctor then.
Well,
holy shit.
That's what we're here for tonight. We're here for Mike Buschetti's...
Yeah, Craig Lager. Why don't you talk a little bit more about it, buddy?
Yeah, we're here for Mike Buschetti tonight. They raised some money for him because as Mikey came in here, he was he had a heart attack.
Right. Well, you can tell I did by rant the rancher.
And obviously, it didn't affect him in any other way.
my anger level went down.
We just covered 13 different topics, and he keeps trying to tell us his anger went down.
No, it did. I went from the Winter Warlock to fucking Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, with an AK-47 in his hand.
was the reason
in the neighborhood.
No, but it's always the guy that points me out that you probably have the AK-47 ready.
He's pointing right at Lawrence as he said that, too.
Take the blame off yourself. No, not Lawrence. Craig, because the guys...
Oh, me, yeah.
Yeah, no, because the guys that always blame others take the load off their own back.
I thought the reason Mike had a heart attack is he tried to keep up with Craig on his fucking radio show.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God. I thought I could talk. Craig and I have the fucking superpowers when it comes to talking and fucking energy. And
yeah, I'm trying to be mellow right now because Mikey was going off and it was fun.
I'm sorry,
and I'm sharing the mic with Lawrence here. Lawrence's like, really? I got to share the mic with this guy?
No,
like,
you guys are good. This is awesome. This is good.
I'm sorry for bringing so much hostility in.
No, you're good. But
he's mellower now.
Lawrence is just saying he's happy and glad he didn't live in Staten Island.
I want to know Mike's thoughts on the Hawley Smoot tariff. What did you think on that one?
The
Hawley Smoot tariff. I want to hear more about history from you.
That's where they abused the Indians.
The tariff.
Well, it was those motherfucking filthy, you know, blah, blah, English. That was it.
No, but the thing is, it started with them, but continued to... It started with Columbus and continued with the Pilgrims, the Conquistadors. Everybody worked people over here.
The Conquistadors?
No, they... I mean, they weren't any better. Look what they did to the Aztecs and Incas in Mexico. Come on.
The Indians were abused, but I think you almost start with the Trail of Tears. Because at that Cherokee...
Where is this discussion going?
This is where it's going.
We just jumped 200 years. Just like, you know, we went,
Trail of Tears. We went
from the Conquistadors to 18...
Come back next week when Gina Visconti and I talk about the fucking Lewis and Clark expedition.
In North America, no one gave a shit about the Indians because they're out west. No. Remember, North... America was just on the East Coast. It was 13 colonies. When America, you know, after the Lewis and Clark and the Louisiana Purchase, and we start, you know, expanding westward, that's when we're like, hey, you know what? We want to start moving west. Indians.
Manifest destiny, bro.
Get the fuck out of the way a little bit. And we start marching them from Georgia out to the west. And then as we keep going out west, we keep moving them and putting them on reservations. That's when they start getting fucked over. They were fine up until that point.
Yeah, but, you know, casinos. We're good now.
That's the leveling point.
Yeah. Those casinos don't pay back. They are making dough.
Oh, yeah.
You know, back in the day when the gangsters ran, like, Vegas and stuff, they paid back. And then the lawyers took over, and they didn't pay so much. But the
back
Indians, they don't fucking...
Vegas,
you motherfucker. Oh, we curse on this?
Yeah, of course you can. Listen to me, you Jew motherfucker. You ever go in my fucking head one more fucking time? That's casino.
No, don't go there.
We got to get him in when we talk movies.
We talked for about 2.5 hours in your fucking show.
Without a break. Yeah,
yeah, we did.
I'm not trying to talk. I'm trying not to step on you guys, and I keep knocking this over. Yeah, move that freaking thing, will you? Thank you.
Let's talk films real fast. Any films this summer so far? Are you guys digging so far or what?
Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I thought was pretty awesome.
Nerds. Even I didn't see that one. You got to borrow? All right, cool. Hey, Mike Buschetti, thanks so much for hanging out tonight, Mike. We'll see you in a little bit, buddy.
Is the show starting?
In like 3 minutes.
All right, I'll be there in 2.5. Like most men.
I was going to say, his wife says the same thing.
Hey.
I'm going to run. Is that one working or no?
No.
Is it? No, you were just on it.
No, I wasn't.
No, he was leaning into Buschetti.
Oh, Mingy.
I'm going to stay with you, man. Yeah, I'm going to stay with you.
Hang
I'm a little wet. You know, it rained down.
Me
a little
too.
Wet.
Me too.
But,
all right, Craig, what else you got your eye on? I know you're... Are you a comic book guy? Did you go see Wonder Woman yet or no?
Did I go see what yet?
Wonder Woman?
Oh, Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
is that what you said? Wow,
sped
you said it
up.
So fast. I thought you were talking about The Flash. You
this fucking ADD is a motherfucker.
You talking about Wonder Woman? It's like the Doppler effect.
I did.
Oh, my God. Holy shit, I'm seeing plaid.
What do you think?
No, my whole family went to see Wonder Woman except for me.
I see.
And not because
you
I
sexist
didn't
piece
want
of
to.
Shit, you.
No, you know what it was? Not because I wanted to. I had a show. We go to those kind of movies opening night or the not so midnight show the night before.
Right.
Because they're still called midnight shows, but they happen at like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. So they're not quite midnight shows. But we do those. So they all went. on the Not So Midnight show, and I had to work. I had a show, and then I had to work the next day. And I just haven't got my lazy ass back out there to see it. I want to see it, but I'm new to these. So
what about Spider-Man, Craig?
Oh, dude, I'm going July 7th.
Yeah, me too.
I'm there. And
July 3rd,
I'm in Florida.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm in Florida, so we have to go see it. We already, you know, we're working, and there's a whole group of us going.
You know, dinner at Applebee's and Spider-Man. That sounds like a hell of a night.
Yeah. Sounds like a good old
American
time.
You know what? It's I'm going to be in Florida. It'll be dinner at probably at maybe
Jimmy Buffett's Paradise.
The Rainforest Cafe.
There's, yeah.
You know. Something that costs a little bit more than, you know, same shit and food, but a little bit more money.
We got time to do the game? Fuck it, we got time to do the game.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's coming.
So here's the story. So this is, you played this before. So, Craig, this is what we do. The name of the game is the Box Office Receipt Game. What we do is we have an uncanny ability to predict what movies are going to make opening weekend. We're going to review what we picked 2 weeks ago, and then you guys are going to jump in. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 films. Well, you guys are going to guess what it's going to make opening weekend, as are we. And if I have the budget, I give it to you. Jeffrey Paul, let's go back in time a few weeks. We've got 1, 2, 3, 6 films to go over.
There's a couple that I'm very interested in.
Okay, let's go. So the first week we had The Mummy, a colossal failure, as I told you it will be. Tom Cruise. Budget of 125. What did it make? And what were our guesses? Sorry, what were our guesses? I'll tell you.
What did it make?
No. Well, you tell us the guesses as we do, and I tell you what the number
First of all, big shot. You picked the highest out of all of us on this
Whoops.
One. Okay, yeah. You picked 74.
Uh-huh.
Tom Rhodes from Major League Baseball picked 73, uh-huh. And I came in at 68.
We're 68.
It sounds like everybody all overbid, just like The Price is Right.
Dude, this was...
Someone should have picked $1.
We more than doubled this one. 31.6, colossal failure, the second biggest bomb of the year.
I'll take that as a win.
That's a win.
What's the first biggest bomb?
King Arthur.
Oh, okay, yeah. You
saw that?
I heard it was a trash.
I heard it was terrible, too. I wouldn't see it either.
So I won't see it. But no. I like King Arthur's story.
Guy Ritchie hasn't made a good film since Snatch. How about that?
Yeah, and the best part about that movie was the name, let's face it.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Next up, horror film that has everybody up in arms of the ending. It Comes at Night. Jeffrey Paul, how much did It Comes at Night? What were the guesses? Okay, go.
We're all over the map on this one. All right. Tom was at 23.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I said 14. You thought it was going to be a big failure at 5.
Kevin Goatee gets both showcases, $5.9
million.
I told you no one give a fuck about it.
I got to go with the show.
You got to go? All right.
Yeah, sorry.
1-1. Craig Loygren, where can we find you real fast?
Yeah, we'll talk after. Yo, real quick, Indiegogo.com. I'm doing my Indiegogo.
Oh, it's special. That's right.
I'm raising money to shoot my own one-hour comedy special. Awesome. So go to Indiegogo, because, you know.
Craig Loygren, very, very funny guy.
Yeah, man.
Donate anything you can, man. 5, 10, 25,
50. A kidney?
You can keep the kidney. I can't sell that in this country anymore.
And where are you this weekend?
I don't know. Go to my website, craigloygren.com. I know I have something going on.
He'll be in the theater to see Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Craig Loygren. No, I do have something happening this weekend. But craigloygren.com, go to that. My Indiegogo is right there. Please, I'm giving out perks.
I'm getting the shirt.
$10. Oh, all you do, it's a, $10 gets you a ticket. $25 gets you a pair of tickets, a digital download. It goes on from there. $50 gets you that, and your name in the credits and the end credits. $75 gets you all that, a T-shirt.
How much are hugs?
Dude, I'll give you a hug for free.
Done.
There you go.
Put me down for $5.
Indiegogo.com, Craig Loygren, my website, craigloygren.com. I want to come on here and
we will have you on. We'll talk films. Yeah, man.
And you guys, I never even met you before, man. Yeah. So
Lawrence, Craig, Loygren.
I asked, hey, who's the black guy? No.
We've had more than one black guy on before.
That's how I roll.
We'll see you in a bit. Okay, right. Down the list. We'll see you in a bit, Craig. Jeffrey Paul, we have Megan Levy, the story of a woman in the army and her dog, bomb-sniffing dog, go through surgery together after a bomb goes off.
You had big money on this. All right, here we go.
Oh, boy.
You were the big guy on this, 13.
Oh, Jesus.
I was the middle guy with 7, and Tom said 5.
Tom is right, because it made $3.8 million for Megan Levy.
Okay, we each got a win now.
All right, so split it down. All right, here we go. We've got 3 more. The Tupac film, All Eyes on Me. Mm. The reviews were shit. Yeah. Lawrence Loach, did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
No desire to see that
you
one.
You didn't see it?
Just because he's black doesn't mean he has to see it, you racist ass. No, I was kidding.
Nah, I didn't see
Jeffrey
it.
Jeffrey Paul, what do we have for All Eyes on Me?
This was an interesting one.
Okay.
Tom went, he thought it was going to be a tremendous box office at Wrong. 71.
Wow.
You and I, for the first time, have the exact same number at 31.
I was going to say in the 20s. I think
27 is the number.
I was gonna say,
we were pretty close on that one.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's amazing, man. That's a bomb. Wow. The next one, I
would love to see a good movie made about Tupac, to be honest with you.
Yeah, from what I heard, it was shit.
Yeah. So. Listen, they all can't be straight out of Compton.
Right. I was going to say, if something along the lines of straight, like if something that John Singleton made it, that would be.
Singleton?
John Singleton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. I thought you got the name wrong. Okay. 47 Meters Down, another shark story that just no one gives a fuck about. Mandy Moore gets the head nod. Oh, listen, I know you're a big fan of her music and such.
No.
Jeffrey Paul, what did we guess on that one?
All right. Tom, $31
million. Tom. Oh, we got to talk to Tom.
You went 12, I really thought nobody's going to see it. I went at 6.
Kevin Gotee gets both showcases, $11.5 million. Ooh. The last one, the Disney Pixar one, the lowest opening for the film of this franchise, Cars 3. I think I overshot this one.
Yeah, you think, man, at 83?
Oh, boy. Jeffrey Paul, what are the numbers? Break it down.
Okay, you said 83. I thought it'd be okay. I went 43, and Tom went 20. He thought it'd be a bomb.
Take it, Jeffrey Paul, $53.5 million for Cars 3. Not bad.
Now, do we have numbers on Rough Night?
Yes, we do.
That's another one that we picked. And none of us had faith in this.
Well, the budget was 20.
Okay.
20 million. But Rough Night.
This is the one with Kate McKinnon.
This is Very Bad Things, but with women.
Right.
Very Bad Things being a horrible film as it was for dudes. Yeah,
this looked like complete dog shit. None of us picked high on this. I went highest of all of us at 15.
Wow.
You were in the middle there at 11. Uh-huh. Tom thought bomb at 7.
Tom wins this one, $8 million. Oh. A complete stinkeroo.
Wow.
Listen, we're good. All right, here we go, Lawrence Loach. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This week is the only, the one film opening this week, and actually comes out on Wednesday. So when you give me your guess, make sure you count for the 5-day weekend. A budget of $260 million. A film that has disenfranchised its loyal fans like yours truly, who watched a cartoon in the 80s. Michael Bay knows how to fuck up a sequel. The film is Transformers: The Last Night. Lawrence Deloach, what do you think Transformers: The Last Night is going to make in its opening weekend? 5-day weekend, I should say.
5-day weekend? I mean, shit. I'm gonna say.
Shit, man.
That hunky mofo messed with my old lady.
5-day weekend? I mean, I'm gonna take a wild guess. I'm not really good at this, but I'm gonna say 93 mil.
93. Okay, Jeffrey Paul, what do you have?
I don't think that's an awful guess, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But I'm gonna go a little bit lower.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm gonna go a little bit lower. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say 83.
I'm gonna go 105. As much as I hate these, and I love this, the first one was great. The sequels have been shit upon shit as they come out. They get worse and worse and worse. This is going to make a lot of money, as much as I hate it.
Why? Why did this? I don't know anyone who ever talks about it or cares about these
movies. I love the Transformers. Again, I grew up, that was my favorite cartoon of all time. And
hasn't it jumped the shark already?
Oh, it's done. After the second one was bad. The third one was bad. The fourth one was absolute. When Marky Mark, I know it was even worse. This has been terrible. 105. But here's the thing: this money's gonna make. It's gonna make its money back like that. The Chinese people love the Transformers. Mm. That kills in the overseas market. So it may bomb here, but in China, it's gonna get past the budget and then some. It made the last one made over $1 billion worldwide. Fuck you, Michael Bay. Fuck you. He's terrible. Next on the list, we've got 4. This one, I think, I actually am going to pay to see this. This one stars Jamie Foxx, Kevin Spacey, John Hamm, about a bank robber, about a getaway driver for bank robbers.
His Baby Driver, right?
Baby Driver. Who makes his getaways based on the soundtrack in his car as he drives these getaways. Baby Driver. No budget. I don't have a budget on this. Jeffrey Paul, you go first. What do you have for Baby Driver?
I'm going to go
52. Lawrence Deloach?
I'm going to go 41.
Wow, we're all pretty close. I have 39. I think this is going to be a big one.
I like the star power.
I like the reviews have been pretty good. Very good, actually. And I like the idea behind it. It's a little different, a little guttier, grittier than most summer films. I'm going to see this. Next up. I don't know how many times they're going to make this fucking film. The first one itself wasn't that scary, I felt. The new film with Jennifer Jason Leigh, story about a single mom and her 3 kids moving to a haunted house in a town called Amityville.
Oh, okay.
Amityville, The Awakening. Amityville Awakening.
They're still making Amityville movies?
Yes. And I thought the first one was a piece of shit. The original. And the remake with Ryan Reynolds.
With Josh Brolin?
Snored right through it.
Yeah.
And the remake with Ryan Reynolds was about, what, 10 years ago? That was terrible, too. No thank you. Jeffrey Paul, what do you have for Amityville Awakening?
Nobody cares. I'm going to say 13.
Lawrence Deloach.
I was in that range. I had 16.
I have 11 because no one gives a fuck, as you had aptly said. Mm-hmm. We are going to go with this one. And this is another one, I think, that has very good comedic promise. Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler... don't have any money to send their kid to college.
I'll go see that.
The film is called The House, as they turn their house into a gambling establishment.
That definitely sounds, yeah.
And the guy from The League, Rafi, is the guy who's like running the casino. I think he is fucking hysterical. Jason Mantzoukas. I love The League, except for the last two seasons, which were shit. He is in this film as well. The House. Budget of $40 million, by the way. Let's go Jeffrey Paul first.
Hey man, Will Ferrell,
Amy Poehler.
Yeah, people like a good comedy.
Say,
yeah, I'm gonna go. I think it's gonna be good. I think I'm gonna go 41.
41 over budget. It's first weekend. Ballsy pick. Lawrence Deloach.
I have him at around 40. No, I'm gonna say 38.
Hiya! Wow. I say 17. It's gonna be good. I don't see it just blown out of the water. And here is the reason why. This is next film is the final of the weekend. This one, a huge film, is the second sequel. I don't give it. I have never seen it. I have not seen any of them. I will not see this one. Despicable Me 3, spawning off the Minions and all that shit. No, thank you. Lawrence Deloach, what do you think Despicable Me is going to bring in?
What's their budget?
I don't have the budget on that one.
Despicable Me is a pretty big series.
Expect over $100 million, at least $100 million in a budget. I would easily expect that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm going to go I'm gonna go 61.
61. Jeffrey Paul.
Kids movie. This weekend?
2 weeks. The 30th. Oh,
not against Transformers.
No.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. I'm going to go 75.
I have 87. Mm-hmm. I think I overshot it, though, but I'm still going to stick with it. Let's go back to Baby Driver. I misspoke. Baby Driver is coming out on a Wednesday as well. It's going to have a five-day weekend total. So if you want to adjust your numbers to be fair, you can do so.
Good.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Not that important.
$39 million for Baby Driver for me. Okay, that's it. Good. All right, done.
Just stick with your numbers.
39 it is for Baby Driver. Down the list, I have Amityville Awakening at 11. It's Despicable Me 87. And there you have it. Transformers 105. There we have it. Kids, it's been a fucking hootenanny today, huh? I talked a lot of NBA. Talked a little bit of baseball, hockey. What's going to come in a couple of weeks? Is that it? So it's pretty much baseball, and then we start getting down NFL training camp discussion sooner or later?
We'll have the draft to talk about.
The draft, that's right.
I think there'll be some NBA trades. And then I was going to say this, we're about a month outside of really starting to talk NFL.
Yeah.
Lawrence, man, this year, fantasy. We got to do it.
A comics league has been discussed ad nauseum.
The three of us here are big fantasy football guys.
Gino wants in, and Vinny James wants in. That's five right there.
That's five right there.
We need at least 10, but it's easy to get.
Yeah.
We can't have a bullshit buy-in.
Before a million times.
I'm not playing for peanuts, man. I don't want to do that, man.
Yo, he's hardballing over here. I like the sound of it. But we'll discuss that. Hell, we might even have a draft.
Harren will be in.
Harren's in, too. I see that happening.
Okay. Let's do some plugs in.
Hey, Lawrence Deloach, where are you going to be?
Enjoy the benefit.
I'm actually doing Skankfest this Friday. I don't know when you guys are releasing this podcast.
Yeah. It'll be out tomorrow or Wednesday.
Awesome. So I'll be
at.
What's that?
You have time.
We're going to wrap it up.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, George.
Cool. I'm Skankfest this week. You can actually go to my website, LawrenceDeloach.com.
You have your website up now?
Yeah.
Cool.
And. Yeah, I'll be, like I said, Skankfest. You can catch me in other places. I have it all on my website. That's about it.
Skankfest it is. Jeffrey Paul, how about yourself?
Okay. Starting Thursday, we got Comedy Under the Stars in New Jersey. That's going to be exciting. Then this week, you can catch me Friday and Saturday night over at the Atlantic City Comedy Club. And then July 7th and 8th, I'm in Cuyahoga Falls in Ohio at the Funny Stop.
Say that again.
I'm in Cuyahoga Falls at the Funny Stop. July 7th and 8th.
I'm doing Comedy Under the Stars July 6th with you, Jeffrey Paul. I'm looking at
you
that.
You and Jim Florentine.
Yeah. Can't wait for that. It's going to be a good fucking show.
Most importantly, though, Comics Watching Comics Season 6 panel tapes this Sunday. Yeah. Who's on the panel? Well, it's official now. We've got Carol Montgomery. We've got Season 1 winner Jason Scoop on the panel.
Yeah.
Master panelist Jeffrey Gurian and recently named the Rolling Stones Top 10 Comics to Watch, Gina Brillin.
Oh, nice.
We got ourselves a hot one. And, but more importantly, the winner of Season 5 Comics Watching Comics will be announced. That episode airs, I guess, Wednesday. We'll have it out there. So, comicswatchingcomics.com. Guys, thank you so much. KevinGoatee.com for more dates. Sportsbook, Box Office Podcast, saying goodnight. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye, guys.
Later. So-